This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We live in an age of big data, data that tells us how our economy is doing, how our children are educated, and what our neighborhoods look like. Since 2002, the Baltimore Neighborhood Indicators Alliance has been the foremost collector of neighborhood data in the city. It compiles about 8,000 data points to paint a picture of Baltimore by the numbers. Yesterday, it released its latest compilation, Vital Signs 12. And joining me to talk about it is Seema Iyer, Associate Director of the Jacob France Institute at the University of Baltimore. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
You have 150 different measures in Vital Signs 12. Last year, you added a host of new ones. This year, you can begin to see the direction those measures are headed. For example, last year, about half of home sales in the city were cash sales, which indicates that those purchases were investments, not families moving into those homes. What does it look like now?
The trend went down to roughly 44% from the 50% last year. So even though last year we saw the 50%, we didn't really know what that meant. It may be the type of indicator that varies a lot from year to year,
and
we just have to keep monitoring it.
And what are some of the other housing indicators?
Well, so in 2012, one of the first things that we found was that the median sales price for the city did go up for the first time since 2006. So it's continuously going up since 2012, but we can see in certain neighborhoods where the housing market is coming back. That's one of the main.
What you're seeing is in certain neighborhoods. You wouldn't say overall the city shows a recovering housing market?
I would say overall the city does show a recovering housing market, but all of our indicators show variation by every single neighborhood. Some neighborhoods increased, some neighborhoods decreased. Some neighborhoods, you could see got exponentially greater, and some neighborhoods remain pretty stable.
And you look at what, 55? Neighborhoods?
We have, since 2000, kind of divided up the city into these 55 communities, we call them. They are roughly created around census boundaries, and that enables us to get data on an annual basis. But 55 communities, obviously that doesn't cover literally every neighborhood in the city, or it certainly covers every neighborhood in the city, but it doesn't separate out every neighborhood.
One of the new measures you've collected in the housing market this year is the number of historic tax credits in communities. What does the credit do, and what can its prevalence in the community tell you?
So we have an excellent relationship now with the city's finance department to really work on what do these tax credits mean for neighborhoods. The historic tax credit applies to the 77 districts in the city that are historic districts. These are local tax credits that you can apply for to incentivize rehabilitation for historic properties.
So what are you seeing?
So Midtown, Downtown, Fells Point were our top property owners that were taking advantage of the local historic tax credit.
That's Seema Iyer, Associate Director of the Jacob France Institute at the University of Baltimore, here on WIPR Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Vital Signs 12, your latest compilation of data on Baltimore's neighborhoods. What is the most important indicator to understanding how a community is doing?
That's obviously a very tough question because all of our neighborhoods are very different. But our mission at the Baltimore Neighborhood Indicators Alliance is to assist and improve the quality of life in our most distressed neighborhoods. And so when we think about our most distressed neighborhoods and when we go and talk to community members in distressed neighborhoods, every single time the answer of what the need is in those neighborhoods is access to a job. I have been in this city now for 10 years, and every time I go into a neighborhood to talk about almost anything, the question is always, how can I get better access to a job? And the data kind of bears itself out in the way that we see the communities with high unemployment rates. The level of distress becomes compounded. High unemployment rates, we see obviously low median income. We see very long commute times in neighborhoods with high unemployment rates, which is kind of probably why there's high unemployment. It's hard to find a job in that neighborhood, and then it's hard to access jobs that are not near that neighborhood, typically using the public transportation system. And then the data also shows that it has lowest life expectancy, highest rates of 311 calls for trash, and high violent crime rate. So the fact that we have neighborhoods with high unemployment, the data also kind of shows that there are these compounding impacts on community health.
This data, because it's on basically a neighborhood level, can give us an insight into how different neighborhoods compare. We know there's a lot of inequality in the region. We did a whole series, a year-long series about that. And so we'd expect many measures to be different across communities. But What measures are similar across communities in Baltimore that might surprise us?
We did a little bit of analysis on not necessarily absolute similarities, but that some of us are leading a slightly different life than other Baltimore. There's a half of Baltimore that's doing one thing and half of Baltimore that's doing something else. So the other half that's doing something, they end up doing things that are similar. Like, for example, how many people work outside the city, live in Baltimore, but work outside the city. It's about 50-50. That's interesting to me that there's some of us that live and work in the city, about 50% of us, and there's those of us that live and work in the city that, you know, work outside the city.
Live in the city,
but work outside the city. So there's a lot of the 50-50 in Baltimore, and I think that kind of resonates with people in the city, that there's some of us that are doing something and then the other half that are doing something totally different, and we have a lot of these indicators that split right down the middle, which is kind of interesting.
For someone listening to this and wondering how this data might mean something to them, how they might use it in their communities, what would you tell them?
So the data tells us what is going on in our neighborhoods. They don't tell us just by themselves why certain trends are happening in every neighborhood. And so we get calls all the time from neighborhoods, and that's the best way for us to even understand how the data is corroborating what people are experiencing in their neighborhood. So Howard Park, for example, last year showed up as being a neighborhood that had a little bit of a dichotomous...
Where is Howard Park?
Howard Park, West Arlington, is on the city-county line in west, on the mm-hmm. western side. They have very low vacant and abandoned housing rates, but pretty high indicator that was new last year called how many properties no longer receive the mail from the U.S. Postal Service because nobody's picked up the mail for 90 days. So even though it doesn't have an official vacant and abandoned housing notice, meaning that the house is unoccupiable, there was clearly nobody living in it because they were nobody was picking up the mail. And the community members understood that unoccupied housing has a particular problem in the neighborhood. They're not being maintained potentially, even if they're still, quote unquote, habitable. And this year, we saw that they actually had an increase in vacant and abandoned housing notices, and the community there wanted to make sure that they were tracking exactly how many vacant and abandoned housing that they have, and they contacted us, and our data kind of showed them and helped them make the case that there is a problem in Howard Park, even if you drive through it and you can't necessarily see it. The community knows that there's a problem, and the data helped them, I think, corroborate and validate their case.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it, Seema.
Thank you so much.
Seema Iyer is Associate Director at the Jacob France Institute at the University of Baltimore. She heads the Baltimore Neighborhood Indicators Alliance there. We have a link to Vital Signs 12 on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast. Much more ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay tuned to 88.1.